hand an outline out last time we met for Genesis chapter 1. We'll be studying some from Genesis chapter 2. As I was going to high school, I guess to college, I heard about evolution. And over the years, I've read stories in the newspaper, and they've had debates here and there about whether to teach creationism in science at school. I don't ever remember them teaching evolution as to the creation of man when I was going to school. They may have taught it, and it just blew right over my head. We got to thinking about, what's some of the ramifications of believing totally in evolution? If I was talking to somebody who believed in evolution, what hindrances would we have in discussing about God, discussing salvation, and discussing the Bible itself? Well, number one, if an individual believes in evolution, they don't believe in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis, because in those books, especially chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have the creation of man, the creation of the world, the creation of the universe by God. And the evolutionists, and I call it a theory, they call it a theory also, but before they get through talking, most of the time it's presented as fact. So I thought initially, before we go into chapter 2, look at some things about evolution that evolution teaches. And I had a book that one of our brethren had done some research, and I'm using the research that he did to glean some thoughts. Evolution has man descending from animals. Of course, we've seen those pictures of how you got a monkey and then an ape walking on two legs, and then you've got somebody else that almost looks like an ape, and then comes along and there's man. And they found all of these archaeological discoveries where they found skeleton remains of these individuals, or skeleton remains from which they have created these individuals. Sometimes it's difficult, because I know for a long time there was one of those individuals that was shown in that chain, and that was a hoax. But anyway, evolution has man descended from animals, but the Bible presents man as a direct creation of God. From the dust of the ground, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we'll be looking at that. Evolution pictures man as a risen beast. In other words, you start as somehow or the other get to be a monkey, but a monkey and then on into a person, an individual, a human, and that's the way they've got it pictured. The only thing I always ask is that I want to see where it's evolving right now. In other words, show me that monkey that's just about changed into a man. And nobody's ever been able to do that. But evolution holds that man is wholly mortal and not immortal. The Bible says we are immortal. Genesis 5:24, and we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about our mortality and our immortality. And in Matthew 10:28, if evolution then makes man wholly mortal or an animal, where is the place for sin? Can animals commit sin? We don't think that. Has your dog ever committed a sin? If you had a monkey in a cage at your house, would that monkey be? He has no sense of right and wrong. Where would that come from if man evolved? Well, in the mind of one who totally believes in evolution, There is no such thing as sin. There's no place for a doctrine of sin. And there's no need for atonement with God, you know, to be at one with God if we haven't sinned. Evolution makes no room for the soul. Makes no room for the soul. When did man become a being that had a soul? I don't think they even believe that man has a soul. So you not only toss out the first few chapters if you totally believe in the theory of evolution, but you in essence toss out most of the Bible. In fact, I ran across a few paragraphs where some individuals said, well, I'm trying to get the book of Genesis to agree with my belief in evolution. So they had God creating man out of atoms, putting atoms together and doing this and doing that, you know, like that it came out of the sea by this little amoeba or whatever. But if man is descended from animals, man cannot sin, and therefore there's no need for salvation from sin. So you can't preach Christ to someone who doesn't believe that you can sin in the first place. So there's a lot of things that can evolve out of believing in evolution. Speaking of evolving, as a result of believing evolution, so many things fall. So many presumptions are made that we find that individual would be very difficult for them to believe in God's word at all. We're made in the image of God. And in Acts 17:28, Paul in the city of Athens speaks of a God that is the, quote, unknown God to the people of Athens. And he said, it's in him that we live and move and have our being. It's him we live and move and have our being. So the people in the Bible looked at the book of Genesis as being real, as being true. Last week we studied in the book of Genesis chapter 1. So we're now looking at the outline. That was free. That was in addition to the outline. We talked about the origin of the universe. A lot of beginnings in the book of Acts. Book of Genesis. Acts will be Wednesday night, midweek. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We talked about God as being a presented God. God is presented by Moses. Moses does not, as he writes the book of Genesis, he does not try to prove the existence of God. In the beginning, God, the people to whom he was writing to, the people that he was associated with, the people around, they knew of God. People from the very beginning knew of God. He had that belief and that faith. There was no need for him to prove God. God is a powerful God because in the beginning, God created. That means out of nothing came something. Now, we had some things that happened in our chemistry lab back when I was in school, in high school and some in college. But nobody created anything out of nothing. You take these two chemicals and join them with another chemical and you come up with a third substance completely different from the others. But it wasn't anything you created because it also existed. Existed in God's creation. Our God is a purposeful God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And our proper response is the response of the psalmist in Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Again and again, the psalmist praises the Lord. And I wanted to note some things that we read. We read the book of first chapter last time, but there are three different phrases that are mentioned in that chapter. The first one is, and God said. And we see that in verse 3. And God said, let there be light, there was light. Down in verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. God said. So God spoke. And look at verse 4. And God saw what he had done, or saw the light, that it was good. So God gave approval. The phrase, and God saw that it was good, is mentioned in verses 4, 10, 12, 18, 25, 31. And then, when God had accomplished what he had accomplished in that, on that particular day, it just says, and it was so. God spoke. This world came into existence by the word of God. And God spoke, and what he said came to pass. I put in my notes to the side, what God said was done. It happened. God just spoke. It happened. Do I understand that? No. The evolutionists don't understand a lot of things either. They're still treating us back. But by faith, we accept that. My voice is getting bad now. Let's look at Genesis, really it's chapter 2, but I want to look at first beginning in verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our image. Notice the word us. In our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So when he's speaking of man here, he'd be speaking of all mankind, including women. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. The evolutionists would say that that's not the case. Or we would say that's not the case if we believe in evolution. Because man was created in the image of whatever was the first thing that existed. According to evolutionists. But the Bible says male and female created he them. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. That was God's plan. Subdue it, not evolve. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Each person, each fish, each beast of the field, each plant was to produce after its own kind. One was not to turn into the other. I know when Genesis, over in Acts chapter 17, Paul said that he made us of one blood. We may have A positive blood, or there's different types of blood we may have, but anybody else in the world that has that same type of blood, that blood can commingle. We can have a transfusion with that person. So the blood is blood other than the types of blood. God, in verse 29, God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree of all the earth in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, or be for food. To every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, where there's life, I have given every green herb for meat or for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning was the sixth day. And so we have that sixth day. God creates man in his own image. We learned that there. He gives blessings and he gives some instructions to man. And verses 28 through 31, we have the blessings that we read about. Now look at chapter 2. We read about the seventh day, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I guess the question comes, that did God rest because he had grown weary? Or did God rest because he was through? It was complete. all that he intended to create had been created. And I think it's the latter. It's not that he, quote, rested because he was weary. So that seventh day, he blessed it and he rested. He had completed what he had set out to do. Now, verse 4, there's some repetition of a part of verse of chapter 1. These are the generations of the heavens, the earth, when they were created, and the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. We don't have any mention of rain until what time? Until the time of Noah. And, you know, and I've always pictured Noah when God said, it's going to rain. Noah, rain? That's not in my vocabulary. So he believed God. He believed that it was going to happen, even though it had never rained. There was a mist. Verse 6 says there was a mist from the earth, and that took care of watering the face of the ground. The Lord formed man. This is a repetition of the latter part of chapter 1. Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. And then it says man became a living soul. And then it speaks of the Garden of Eden in verse 8. So here we have in verses 4 through 7, we fall in our outline to stay somewhat near what we got outlined. Before there was rain, there was a mist. So God provided not only animals, but you also know He created the things that they were to eat. You know, if I'd been there doing all this, I'd never got myself organized to gotten all that done. God was an organized God. We hear a lot about intelligent design. I don't know exactly what that means, but God used intelligence in designing. I mean, all those stars out there. I mean, we get concerned a lot of times, scientists do, when there's a meteorite. Well, I'd get concerned if that sun didn't stay where it was. If that sun started coming in our direction. Or if one of those big planets started coming at us. But God designed that in the beginning. And God sustains it. Christ sustained it to this very day. Don't you imagine that he's not very happy that so many don't believe the fact that he created everything. Man, a living, physical and spiritual being, according to verse 7. Physical and spiritual. There's no way you can get that in evolution. No way you can get it. Then verse 8. Man's first home. Where was man to live? Well, initially, it says, Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. Some think that this was somewhere in the area of Iraq. The Euphrates, Tigris-Euphrates River is there, and the Euphrates River is mentioned here in this chapter. So he put the man that he formed in this Garden of Eden, and out of the ground that Lord God caused to grow all these trees that were pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. So there was a tree of life there. It's in the garden, though. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's going to come back to haunt them. A river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. And then it names the four heads of the river. Then verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's what man's purpose was at that time, to dress and keep this garden. A garden in which there were no thorns and thistles. Doesn't really indicate there were a whole lot of weeds and things like that that would have to be taken care of. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree. So here's the first command
that's made to man by God. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man be alone. I'll make for him a helpmeet, a suitable person for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called them, that was their name. Verse 20, Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl, to every beast. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, verse 21, and he slept. Took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. This is not hurting my voice. I know you're hearing this raspiness and gravelly. I told somebody earlier I'd probably have a gravelly voice. If you can't understand my words, most of them are on this paper, so, or many of them are. Fill in the blanks with whatever words that you pick up. Sorry about that. So the rib he took, he made the woman and brought her to man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. And that the Hebrew word there is, I found that Hebrew word that meant woman. The Hebrew word was Isha, I-S-H-A, woman. Because she was taken out of man, Ish. Is the Hebrew word. And Ish and Isha. Therefore, we have these words in verse 24. Words that are used by Jesus over in Matthew 19. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So Moses gets that conclusion, draws that conclusion, based upon God's creation, the first home. They made them male and female. And thus, that's the way that they were to be. In fact, I've got a book. I don't know if I still got it. It's a paperback called One Flesh Marriage. How we become one flesh when we're married. We become one. And there are too many people today that don't believe that. There are too many people today that believe you can become one without being married. And somehow that can be pleasing to God. Or can believe that you can become one with the person of the same sex. And that's pleasing to God. And they get after those of us who say that God's Word doesn't teach that. That's not how it was designed. I mean, if we even use the pattern, the design set up from the very beginning, there was nothing set up to allow for that. When Noah placed the animals on the ark, why do you think he took them by twos? They had to be a male, they had to be a female. There, as far as I know, there are no homosexuals in Noah's family. Didn't say they were. Well, later, Abraham's kinfolks, Lot, ran into some in Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see how when people don't accept creation, there's so many things, other things, that they can't accept. There's just not any place in their thinking for some of these things like salvation, sin, the fall of man. How can man fall if man never was up there? Man started out as a monkey. Man rose from monkey to man. Now the Bible says man was made, created in the image of God from the very beginning. And that man fell. Man sinned. And there had to be a way to make that right with God. I'm going to shorten this a little bit since this voice has gotten like it has. Some application. Really in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We're going to study Genesis chapter 3 next week. Without Genesis and believing Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, there's no way we would believe Genesis chapter 3. Because Genesis 1 and 1, to those of us who are Christians, gives the only plausible explanation. Only believable explanation of how everything was created. And we believe that. That's by faith. But to me, it's always made more sense, too. It's always made more sense. There's a man by the name of John Clayton. I don't know whether you heard him or not, but we ran into him down in Florida. He was a school teacher somewhere up in the Midwest. And he was a scientist, but he also taught that creation is how people came, God's creation, that God's way, that the Bible tells us how man came into existence. There's an intelligent design out there of the universe. There's a created the animals and proper food and a proper atmosphere in which they were to live. Intelligent designs of the functioning of our bodies. Well, we think we've gotten real smart that we can keep these bodies going now for some maybe 90, 100 years or so. But the only reason they go that long is because God created them, created our bodies to function. We've tweaked it a little bit, maybe by meditation or something. That sometimes that's not good, possibly. We found out to our dismay many times. And the second thing, and we'll close. We owe our all to God. We owe our all to God. Just looking at some of the things mentioned by Paul in Acts briefly. In Acts 17. As he was on Mars Hill. As he was talking to those people there, that he said, "You're very superstitious." In other words, the translation that was religious. And they had this altar, this inscription to the unknown God. And Paul said, "Whom you ignorantly worship, I declare him to you. God made, who made the world and all things therein." Paul believed in a creation story, didn't he? He didn't think it was just something that you taught to kids. He knew it as being the truth, as being the only logical thing. God that made the world and all things in of sin, he's Lord of heaven and earth. Doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. There were all kinds of temples around Athens. Parthenon, we got replica here. He's not worshipped with men's hands as though he has need of anything. Nobody was there to say, "God, can I help you out? Is there anything I can do in helping you with this creation?" No. Well, you know, at the time, we hadn't even been created. Man had not been created. "It's made of one blood," verse 26 of Acts 17. "All nations of men." Verse 28, the words I mentioned earlier, "In him we live and move and have our very being." We'll conclude there, and we'll look at chapter 3 next week. Adam and Eve, first two human beings, in the beginning of their home. I don't know how long it was, how much time transpired between the happenings of chapter 2 and the happenings of chapter 3. Some time probably went by. But we'll study that and look at that. You might read the first three chapters for next week. If there's one here tonight not a Christian, I think all are. Why not come to Christ tonight? If there's a Christian, you desire prayers, you wish to be rededicated to Christ, why not come tonight? We stand and sing.